Welcome to the Improv in Practice podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Wilson, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on improvised theater with Synergy Theater. You can find Synergy Theater's classes, workshops, performances, and more at synergytheater.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y theater.com. Okay, lights down, curtain up. Hello, friends. It is April 7th, 2024, as I record this. Do you have your tickets yet for My Dearest Love? If yes, then Valerie Jord and I can't wait to see you April 18th to April 28th, Thursdays through Sundays, at the Lesher Center. Our guest today, Rachel Kumar, is part of the cast. You're going to love this interview. Be sure to check out the Kumar family on YouTube. You'll see what I mean. Okay, on to the interview. Rachel Kumar and Valerie Jord, thank you so much for being here today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Thanks, Sarah.
Well, I can't wait to dive in. Rachel, please tell us about your journey to Synergy Theater.
Oh, wow. I have grown up in the theater, dancing ballet, did some musical theater, I did swing dancing. I never, ever did improv. I actually didn't really know what it was. Fast forward many years, after the pandemic, I had a baby in the middle of the pandemic. By this point, it's like 2022. And I kind of just lost myself in motherhood. I had a 2 and a 4-year-old. I just started a new job, and I just was very burnt out on life in general. My husband was trying to encourage me just to get a hobby, just have some type of outside outlet, right? I had been listening to this podcast called Office Ladies. It's a really cute podcast with Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, who are part of The Office. During the podcast, Angela Kinsey would talk all the time about how she used to do improv, and she made it just sound like the most fun thing in the entire world. And she talked about all these other actors that did improv. And I thought, that sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like a good outlet, something just to go somewhere and be a different person. And I found Berkeley Improv, and I started going there in November of 2022. The first teacher I had there was so much fun. She was great. She was lively. It went by in a heartbeat. Like, I just kept going back week after week and be like, this is so fun. I just felt free. A couple weeks into it, she was sick and the substitute teacher was Arastu. The vibe wasn't completely different than the first teachers, but it was so grounded. And I realized, oh, I didn't know improv could be this way. I didn't know it could be so grounded in characters and have a meaning to it. It's not just fun and games. It actually felt like we were becoming something, if that makes sense. So I kept taking classes with Arastu and I loved it. Fast forward a couple months and Arastu was like, hey, I'm part of this group called Synergy. I think you'd be a good fit for it. How about you come see our show end of January and see what you think? And I said, okay, that sounds fun. So I came to the Myth and Magic show end of January of, that was 2023. I loved it. It was so funny. It was just really engaging. I love the concept of that there's costumes and that there's the stage setup. Everything was just so enthralling to me. After that, Ken got in contact with me and we were chatting about Synergy a little bit. And he asked me if I'd wanted to come in to do an audition. And I said, sure. I went, did the audition. And actually, I was just realizing today is the 1-year anniversary of my audition for Synergy. Thankfully, I got in and have been a part of it ever since.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
We are very happy to be here and celebrate it with you.
I can think of no better way to celebrate it.
Thank you. So what is something that you think that the other Synergy Theater members don't know yet about you?
Oh, goodness. I feel like I'm really chatty, so I probably tell them way more information than they want to know. Let's see. A really fun fact that not a lot of people know is that my birth certificate recognizes me as a time traveler. So my birth certificate says I'm born in the year 2990. It legitimately says I'm born in the future.
Whoa. Okay. Huh. So what's the future like?
I wish I could tell you, but I'm supposed to keep it all a secret.
Oh, that's what? Sure. Where are my flying cars? All right. But what about this? Where do you see yourself in the future with improv?
With improv, oh my goodness, I've found a really great rhythm and synergy. I don't see myself looking to outside places at this point where I just love the setup of improvising full-length plays. I love the camaraderie of the group. It's a really great group. I love having a heart and soul to improv. So I find myself very comfortable in this. I think it'd be really fun to take classes other places and keep growing as an artist. So who knows? Who knows what the future holds?
Well, 5 years or more ago, did you picture yourself here?
Absolutely not. No, 5 years ago, I did not picture myself doing improv in this space at all. I'm very glad that past Rachel was open to exploring this option.
What are some things that you found surprising when you had your first teacher? That experience was more fun. And then when you had Orastu as a teacher, that t teaching or class was more grounded. What else has surprised you in your experience in practicing improv?
Ooh, that's a great question. And if you're listening to this, your classes were still fun. They were just different. I think one thing that really surprised me, especially how we do it at Synergy, is how Ken has made it into this formula with the story spine, with all the different ways of the first identifying event, all of that. It's so much more structured. I think I always saw improv being very loosey-goosey, and there's really a beautiful structure to it. Yes, everything is thought of in the moment, but it has these guardrails that keep you really honed in on what your purpose is.
Absolutely. Ken's guidance is like a, what would you liken it to?
It's like a guide on a mythical journey, right? Where they'll give you guidelines, but you still have to take the journey yourself.
How has your journey been so far? You've said that you've been having so much fun. What has been a challenge?
My challenge is not laughing. I think because I started improv just to have fun and have an outlet, when I'm there on stage or off stage watching my castmates perform, I feel like a fangirl sitting on the sides watching them, and I legitimately find so much joy that I cannot keep myself from smiling, from laughing, something I'm trying to work on, but I enjoy it so much.
I'm picturing us in the Lesher Center in the Vukasin Theater. I'm picturing our last show that Valerie and I watched you and the Synergy Theater players take part in. And that was Adventure Serial. And it was so much fun. Do you feel like you had gotten a kind of a physical workout after each rehearsal and show?
Yeah, it was definitely a lot more moving around, a lot more physical comedy and physical movement. I am sad that I didn't get to throw more punches and get to do more fight scenes. I wish I had had the opportunity for that, but it was a good physical workout. I always felt got the blood pumping more.
And now we're going into My Dearest Love, which is, as far as content goes, an about face. Can you tell us about your experience in rehearsal for My Dearest Love?
Yeah, I was just talking about this the other day. Adventure Serial is very like high energy and moving around. And then you whiplash over to we're talking very regal and slow and moving and trying to have less movement on stage. It's been a really fun opportunity to very switch gears and do something completely different. And it's a very fun format. There's one letter writer who's writing a letter to their friend, their lover, their mother, sister, whoever, and is explaining events that have transpired, and they insert themselves in the story. That's also come with some really great challenges of, okay, how much do you write? How much do you act? How much do you stand to the side? But it's been a fun challenge to figure out as a group.
I remember watching My Dearest Love online during the pandemic, and it was, to say it was a breath of fresh air is not to do it justice. It was transporting, and it was so cool to watch and to listen to as well. And the premise is just great. Now, tell us about the costumes.
The costumes are really fun. It's set in 18th century France. So we want the costumes to look beautiful and regal. And Nikki has been working overtime to make sure that everything is perfect. Us ladies text all the time, and we are always sharing pictures of which costumes we picked out, hair, this, that. I think we're all enjoying getting to feel pretty piece of it all. I don't know how the gentlemen feel about their costumes, but their costumes are what you would imagine a man wear in 18th century France. Very regal looking. That's one thing I love about Synergy is that the costumes are so transporting. They bring you to that era. They make you feel like you're a part of it. I've always loved dressing up. That's been a huge fun part of my life. And getting to wear a big foofy dress on stage is a dream come true.
Absolutely. Now, what does your family think of your improvising theater and the costumes and your experience?
For my husband, he is so supportive and he thinks it's so much fun. I will try on my costume and show him and he'll give me feedback of like, oh, I like this or I like that. I think the people that love my costumes and the whole improv experience the most are my two sons. They are 5.5 and 3.5, and they are my biggest cheerleaders when it comes to all of this. They loved, I showed them videos of zombie. They were obsessed. I brought home my cards because we'd have the Z is for zombie card or the zombie killer card. And they would play zombie killer with each other. And they would pull out their cards and show each other. And even for Adventure Serial, I've showed them a few little clips of things here and there. And they'll talk about it. And they know all the cast members' names and they'll mention things. And they're just very involved in it. Especially my 3.5-year-old, when I came out wearing my dress for My Dearest Love, he goes, Mommy, you look like Elsa, which is a really big compliment from a kid who loves Frozen. So I'm like, okay, we're going somewhere right here.
I love that story. And what a wonderful memory between the two of you that will be. Valerie, do you have any questions for Rachel?
Oh, I forgot I was here. I was having such a fun time listening to both of you, like a live podcast happening. Rachel, you've been so great since watching you first on Zombie. That was amazing to see. I had not seen the Zombie series, Z is for Zombie, before. So that was new to me. You're new. And the combination was just outstanding. And I thought it was really funny because you have such an angelic face.
Oh,
and then for you to like, I'm going to eat you. It was just, how did you embody that character? Like, you never actually looked evil, though, to be honest, but you had to become a zombie.
I know. I think that's one thing that I struggle with in all the shows is I never put myself as a villain just because I don't feel like I'm very good at it. I should try to put myself that way more because it's a good challenge. For Zombie, the funniest story for that is that during rehearsals, because we would be given the cards during rehearsals, and never once was I a zombie killer, ever. I never got the zombie killer card during rehearsals, so I never practiced it. And my very first Synergy show, first out the gate, of course I had to get the zombie killer card. And my very first show, I am a zombie killer. Why? That show, my very first show, the first scene that I got called on, Arastu had pulled me and Griffin on stage. We had all been together at Berkeley Improv. So it kind of felt like my security blanket of like, okay, I've got these people with me that I know well and that I think I can do this. And then Arastu just gave me the greatest gift in the first scene, he gives me a bow and arrow. And this is my zombie killer weapon is what I decided in that moment. But in future shows, I think I was a zombie 6 times. It was a lot. And you're right. I would always be kind of this more innocent character and then turn to a zombie. Apparently, I'm not very convincing as a zombie, but I did my best.
We really enjoyed Z is for Zombie, and the premise was great too. From my memory, in the beginning, cards are distributed to the cast, mm-hmm. and each card has a letter on it that signifies the role that they will eventually take on. They look at it, but the audience doesn't know, and the players don't know what other cards the other players have drawn.
That is correct.
Yes. And so there's a revealing, and I remember yours, and it was so great. It was so great. And Valerie is right. Your characterization and the change in it was spot on. Yeah. And then rolling forward to Adventure Serial, you played a very different character that was more like an Indiana Jones character. And then going forward to My Dearest Love, I imagine that is another aspect of your personality. I mean, what items are we drawing on here from what makes you to meet these characters and bring them to life on stage?
Ooh, I hadn't thought about it in that way. I feel like for my dearest love, especially the first rehearsal, I still was in this fight or flight mode from Adventure Serial. And I've been spending the past couple rehearsals trying to get more soft and flowy and graceful, trying to pull in my ballet background a little bit. This past rehearsal, I was teaching the group historic dances so that we can make the ball scenes look a little bit more accurate, for lack of a better word. I'm trying to pull in my more graceful side because back then women were supposed to be seen as lovely, more soft spoken, more gentle in that way. I'm hoping to balance that with also making strong character choices as well. That's one thing the ladies and I have discussed a lot, is trying to balance the women of the time with having the sensibilities of 2024. Like, women can be anything and we are strong and we are capable, but how do we make this feel realistic in the time?
That's an interesting challenge, and I did want to touch on that. The setting is in the 1600s, you said?
1700s, so it's 18th century.
18th century, 1700s. And Synergy Theater is always so good about being inclusive, both of the people who take the classes and also in their shows and promoting diversity. I'll speak for myself, but when I hear the 18th century, my dearest love, 1700s, big poofy dresses, I'm thinking of the European English or French variety of style at that time. How is Synergy Theater bringing in more of a diverse look there, cast or characters or subject matter?
Part of just the premise for us is that we're not really focused on what ethnicity somebody actually is or what our cast is diverse, which is amazing. We're focusing less on, oh, these people fit the mold or don't fit the mold. And it's more of, we are in another world, transported there. It's kind of like Bridgerton, which is a Netflix show where it's imagining a world in the past that looks like the different races and different people of today. We're also not doing French accents, which I think is very helpful. We're just using the time period as our guide, but then we're able to move within that time period, if that makes sense.
Yes, I can't wait. It's going to be visually and also stirring in the heart as well. Synergy Theater, another thing they do so well is to bring in the heart to every story, even with Z is for Zombie. And that was a Halloween time kind of romp through the graveyard. But when the reveals happened, if it was a reveal in a relationship that should be close, like a familial relationship, but one ended up being a zombie and the other ended up being a zombie killer, there were heartstrings that were pulled in those reveal scenes.
Yeah, definitely.
So how is Synergy Theater bringing the heart into a premise that is, like you say, fluffy?
And we talk about this in rehearsals a lot of just, it's all about the relationships. One of the favorite quotes that gets tossed around a lot is deepen, not widen. So, like, let's get deeper into this relationship. What is this looking like? A couple weeks ago at rehearsal, there's this beautiful scene. It was between Adrian and Ben. And in the scene, Adrian had found this dead bird and was very sad about this dead bird. And Ben came in as the gardener and was giving this beautiful metaphor of life. And we're just watching this unfold. And their relationship was so lovely. And it was not about a plot. It was not about taking these twists and turns, but it's just about these two people connecting on a really deeper level. That was just gorgeous. And to me, that's synergy. It's just about the relationships. It's about building connections and feeling that. And like anyone who watches that can feel like, oh, I've had those moments where I've connected with somebody on that level.
Yes, what each of us looks for every day is a connection or more than one genuine connection. And if we don't get that in our daily lives, we go to bed feeling like something was missing. And not always can we put our finger on it. Improv has helped me in connecting with people, in listening. And can you speak more to that?
It has helped me be a better listener because I think it's easy to make your first reaction just to speak and just to say things where, when you're in a communication with a partner, you have to really listen and act based on what they're saying. And it's helped me a lot with my job too, because I'm a behavior specialist and human behavior is fascinating to me. Human behavior changes and I can't predict everything. And improv has made me a lot better at going with the flow and a lot better at just taking things as they are. And I can't plan too many steps ahead. I have to live in the moment. So it's helped in my career, and especially as a mom. I feel like improv has made me a more fun mom with my kids. I play pretend with them all the time. They're really invested. The other day, one of their friends was over, and I had made them these little balloon swords. And the little boy, he's four, hit me with the sword. Like, he was playing around. He hit me with the sword, pretending to attack me. And I like acted like I was injured and I fell on the floor. And he was so concerned that he'd actually hurt me because he's not used to adults engaging in that way. And it was just a fun moment of, yeah, that's what improv is. It's just pretend play on an adult level.
It is. And it's so enjoyable, but in a very mature and profound way. I mean, there are times where I can tell that you all are trying not to crack up and doing a very good job of it while the audience is just rolling. And then I also appreciate the times when I see synergy players in a scene and emotionally they're engaged. Does any scene come to mind for you, either in rehearsal or on stage, that you did feel like you were pulling on true emotions in the scene?
That actually brings me, the first time I really felt that like to my core was in my audition for Synergy. How the audition process works is you are acting out different scenes and Ken would give different prompts. It was me and Nikki. And in the scene, I don't recall all the details. This was a year ago, but she was my mom. We were on a hike and it became this beautiful thing of we were both grieving that my father, her husband, had passed away and how we were the only thing the other person had. And there was no humor in the scene. There's no gags. There's no bits. It was just, I felt like she was my mom in that moment. And I felt like we were truly sharing in this grief together. And it was so beautiful and so potent. I got lost in it for a moment. And in that time, I was thinking, wow, I've never felt this way while doing improv. And it was such a cool, cool moment to get to share.
I can picture that for the two of you. Nikki is wonderful in every scene that she's in. And she's very practiced in going deep into a relationship in a scene. And it's every scene unfolds, I feel like the blooming of a flower. And some scenes are very simple and they advance the story and they're fun. I look for the gems as well. I especially like the ones that go in a way or get deep in a way that you don't expect. Now, on this thread, I have a question for Valerie. Valerie, as some know, is Griffin's mom. And since Valerie has known Griffin before improv, although I understand, Griffin has always been involved in the theater, what were the changes that you saw in Griffin before improv and then after?
Oh, 100% more confidence. I mean, he was always a bit of a theatrical performer type to begin with. I do remember the very beginning in 2018 when he had just joined Synergy. And still trying to decide, you know, if he fit in. It's hard. You're bringing yourself into like a new family, essentially. And Ken is quite the professional. I mean, he lives, breathes improv. He's everything improv. And for Griffin to come from college and doing his own improv and studying with others, and then to come into Ken's world, where Ken had very specific instructions. It's improv, but it's not. It's in Ken's world and you're in his realm and you want to perform at leisure, you follow this and it works. I mean, for a reason, there's a formula, like you mentioned before, Rachel. And I saw how Griffin, within a year, he turned around. Like, he wasn't sure. He was like, I don't know. I'm not really sure if I can get on with this Synergy and their methods. And look at him today. For him to produce adventure serial, to teach, the transformation blows me away. And that's the reason why I literally come to every show, because it's different. Every show is different. When I first started going, it was only 4 shows in the series. And then it quickly doubled to 8 shows. And I was wondering, like, can I really go to all 8 shows? Oh, yes. Yes, I can. I can go to all 8 shows. I can photograph and record all of them. And I'm still amazed every single night. That's what Synergy and improv has done for me. I knew nothing about improv and I'm a total believer now. I see how it changed Griffin. I see the maturity and how all of the cast members have developed since 2018. It's quite a transformation.
Thank you for that. And Rachel, how would you say that practicing improv has affected your confidence?
I think it has made my confidence go up and down, to be perfectly honest, because whenever you are under the eye of anyone else, whether it's a boss, instructor, or director, whatnot, you start to take things to heart. So I'd get feedback and I'd take it really personally and I'd go home and I'd think about it and be like, well, this is, you know, their way of showing me I can grow. They see that I have their opportunity for growth, right? It has made my confidence go up in a general upward trend, but there's definitely days where I feel, why am I even doing this? And then I go back and I work harder and I'm like, okay, now I see. But every member I've talked to has a little bit of this imposter syndrome. Why am I here? Am I good enough for this? Is this really something I should be doing? And then, of course, everyone is so kind and so encouraging. You're doing great. You're hard on yourself. Keep working on it. It's very uplifting, and that keeps you going so much. It has increased my confidence, but it's also made me question myself in so many ways, in a good way.
As far as the future goes and your future confidence, which I anticipate will go steadily up, is there a story that you would love the Synergy Theaters to play on stage? One that they haven't done before?
I've talked about this one just with a couple of cast members. I need to pitch it to Ken. I love Jane Austen. I grew up reading all her books. I think My Dearest Love has definitely gotten my attention back on that because it has that very Jane Austen vibe to it. I would love to do something in the style of Jane Austen and call it like Jane Austen, like Austentageous or something cute like that, and have it be a more female-centric sort of play, because it is very easy for us women to feel a little bit more on the sidelines. And I love Jane Austen wrote women very well. She wrote their characters, she wrote their dialogue in a way that feels authentic. But every time a new idea is brought, I'm always like, that sounds so fun. Like, let's do that one. There's nothing that I've heard that I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to see this play out on stage. Everything is this fun new idea. And I'm looking forward to each and every one.
What you're making me think of is Pride and Prejudice and zombies with an all-female cast. It would be up to you guys, of course. And or all of the women are in more dynamic roles, and then the guys can be the zombies.
Ooh, I like where you're going with this. Although, to be perfectly honest, I am not much for the horror genre. I think I like just like the sweet, loving romance. So
yeah,
in the realm of Pride and Prejudice, I see women as the Barbies and men as the Kens, you know, just there to serve Barbie's purpose.
I love your idea, Rachel, and I hope that ends up before Synergy Theater with you as the director. Would you ever step into that role?
If I was ever given the opportunity, I would probably say yes, but the idea of it is very terrifying. I see how much work directors have put into everything, but it sounds like a really amazing opportunity too. So I don't know. We'll have to see about that one.
Okay. Valerie, do you have any other questions for Rachel?
I'm curious, Rachel, are you able to tell us how the audience will participate in My Dearest Love? Like, ooh, how will you be getting suggestions from us?
Well, that might be a secret for...
I know.
I don't know how much I'm allowed to divulge. It's definitely going to be less audience participation than Adventure Serial.
Okay. Yeah. Adventure Serial had a lot. That's true. Okay.
So we'll see.
What about the music? Is Arastu also doing the new soundtrack for the show?
I'm guessing if there is any music, it'll be in the style of more of the Mozart kind of vibe.
What about, okay, last shot. How about set design?
The set design is going to be fairly simple. Ken was saying we do have a Rococo styled couch that's going to be there, a few chairs. It's going to be very, very simple. Because the costumes are so magnificent, that's going to be what's shining through.
I'm so excited. It's going to be so good. And I do hope that in the future, Rachel, to enjoy your artistic input and flair and flavor also being threaded into the Synergy Theater tapestry. With each player that comes on stage, the group changes.
Yeah, I think because I'm still fairly new, the only cast member who joined after me has been Adam. And that was such a seamless transition. When I started, I was rehearsing for Roll of the Dice, but I was not in Roll of the Dice. I was overseas when that was going on. And Adrian had left Synergy and come back. And so he and I started back with Synergy together. And it was nice to have a buddy to kind of like reintegrate into the group. And Adam joined for My Dearest Love. It was just seamless. It just felt like the vibe was just continued. One thing, when Ken and I talked on the phone before my audition, he made it very clear that they're not just looking for a good improviser, they're looking for a personality fit. And I hope that after this amount of time, I am a good personality fit. I'm a pretty easy to get along with person. I've made some really wonderful, wonderful friends through Synergy. Like I say, a group of us text pretty much every single day, and I feel very close.
How has this practice, these creative threads, gone into any other artistic activity that you're involved in right now?
One thing that I do with my husband is we have a YouTube channel. We started it in the pandemic, and it's been a fun little outlet as well. Since starting improv, we do some like short films and sketches and whatnot. I find myself just being a lot more present when on camera. I feel a little bit less self-conscious now. I feel a lot more confident. It's made me be able to perform in that way. Part of it too is because Synergy is not based on all these gags and all these silly things. It's very much based in reality. Having that presence of mind, that presence of spirit, I can do better work on the YouTube channel.
What's the YouTube channel about?
It's called Kumar Family, and it's just about our family. We're a interracial couple. I'm here from America. My husband's from Malaysia. And we just share a lot of our life with all the differences of being from two completely different continents and raising our boys. It's a little bit of a hodgepodge of everything, but mostly it's just sharing our true authentic lives. We do some fun little skits and things too, which I enjoy a lot.
How do I find that?
We're on pretty much all social media platforms. It's Kumar Family. Kumar is about K-U-M-A-A-R. Again, a fun little thing we do. Now my husband actually does it full time. That's been a really cool transition for our family of him being able to YouTube full time and see it grow a little bit more.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you're having success there. And Valerie, do you have any questions about that?
I've seen a few videos and they're so great. Rachel, you and your husband, you're such an amazing couple, family.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I've always following families on YouTube because I don't come from a large family and yours is not a large family, but still, I'm just fascinated watching family life like millions of other Americans in the world. Just the fact that you're just average is it's just really cool. There's nothing extraordinary about it. That's how a lot of people can relate. I've met your husband a couple times when he attended the shows. It's always fun to gauge the spouse or family members because I sit there. I arrive early and I like to watch the audience. And sometimes their faces are so revealing. Maybe he had no idea what you're going to do on stage, especially during Zombie. Was very fun to watch his face.
Now I wish, Val, we need to set up like a secret camera because I want to see his reaction. No, he's so supportive and he's the absolute best. I'm so grateful for him and his support through all of this.
Would he or has he ever tried improv?
He has not. It is not necessarily his thing. He does acting classes and he's really great at that. He's more on the serious side of things. He was a project manager, so he's very structured. He likes a plan. He likes a script, all of that. And that's everything improv is not. I'm very much more of a go with the flow. Let's make things up as they go along. We're both in the right areas for our personalities. And then we come together and we complement each other's strengths and weaknesses so well.
I'm waiting for the day where Valerie says, I'm going to give improv a try.
You are hilarious, Sarah.
Sarah, I've listened to a lot of these podcasts and I don't think I've ever heard you say what got you into improv and how long you've been doing it.
Oh, improv. Improv was a gamble. It was, oh my gosh, I need something to do. And I feel like I need something that will challenge me. Something that would me a couple years ago would think, I never in a million years would I ever think that you would try this, future Sarah. I went online and I searched and I found Synergy Theater and they had a class nearby where I worked at the time. I went down there and it was at the rehearsal studio in Berkeley. And it was me and one other person and Ken.
Oh,
and
wow.
Even though It was the three of us. I was entranced and I left feeling so much better than I felt when I got there. I felt stretched, even though the three of us had never met. Through the exercises and guidance that Ken gave us, I felt like I had made two new friends right there. And I was entranced by that. And I was, well, like they say, I was hooked. And I have been going ever since. I met so many friends through this, and I continue to take it weekly, and I'm a lifer. It informs me how well I listen. It has informed me how well I really give someone my focused attention. It's caused me to look at that. I know that in life, we are all so very distracted for good reasons. We've got family and work and interpersonal relationships and our internal monologue. And just now thinking about, am I really engaged when I see someone, when I interact with someone, no matter who they are? Am I really there in that moment, giving them my attention? And often I'm not. And this is a discovery that I've made through Ken's improv training and practice. How do you think about that, Rachel?
Oh my gosh, I just felt so just resonating with all your words while you're talking and just truly, truly listening. Improv rehearsals are also a form of therapy in a way of having to think beyond yourself and having to trust so deeply on your fellow improvisers and taking their suggestions and yes anding and figuring out together what story is unfolding. And it just naturally affects all other areas of your life. The things you work on while practicing improv, you can apply those to all areas of your life, especially listening.
I go back to what I was saying before, believe that daily we look for connections with our fellow people around us, and yet we are too distracted to see all the opportunities we have to make that connection. And we may be looking for a connection to be made to us. Well, you can make that connection. You can do it in any meeting or encounter that you have. Another thing that improv has taught me is it can be with anyone, maybe with someone that you would think you wouldn't have a connection with if you just make eye contact as you're checking out of the grocery store and ask someone how their day is. It's an amazing thing that happens. They actually see you and you actually see them. And you find out that appearances aside and preferences, you're both human and you're both here and you have more in common than you know.
I absolutely love that. It made me think of while you're speaking, there's a great quote by C.S. Lewis, and it says, "Friendship is born the moment one person looks at the other and says, 'You too, I thought I was the only one.'" And I have felt that moment so many times in improvising where we'll be on like this hive mind and we'll both think the same thing. Or I love puns. And one of my earlier, when I was at Berklee Improv, there was this closing ritual where we would do puns. It was called like 186 pigeons. And it was this whole pun game. And everybody was so into it. And I looked around, these people that I don't have other things in common with, but we have the shared love of this little game. There's this moment of like, wow, you too. This is such a deeper connection. As silly as that sounds, pretty much every rehearsal, we make these deep connections. And everybody at Synergy is so phenomenal. I love everyone deeply. And I think it's really cool that the thread that ties us together is the love of people and the love of connection.
And then turning that into a showcase and spreading the love, for lack of a better way of putting it, when they're on stage to an audience. And I truly believe that this is something that Ken wants to convey to his audience, is that you too can make these connections. Yes, we Synergy Theater players love our audiences. We love performing. We love being players and bringing heartfelt stories and dramatic stories and scary stories and suspenseful stories to the stage for your enjoyment. And we are all connected. At the end of every Synergy Theater show, Ken tries to put a point on that. Would you agree that, hey, we're up here and you're in the audience and we are all connected? I get that vibe at the end of every show.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We wouldn't be anywhere without them. And as a performer, we feed off the energy of the audience so much. It makes a huge difference in the vibe of our shows. The audience really dictates, even with or without their suggestions, really dictates the direction a show goes. So they are another member of the cast in a way.
Valerie, have you had the same experience?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I like how you put that, Rachel, that the audience is the eighth player, or we're part of, even though we're not on stage, there's no show without us. There's no show without you. We're all together in this. And that's why I love every new series, because I just want to see how we all become meshed together. I did have one question for you, Rachel, before this ends. How are you handling the deep love scenes in My Dearest Love? Because that can be tricky to show so much romance and true love on stage.
Going into it, I assumed it was going to be a lot more like passionate and like love-based. But mm-hmm. I think through the Synergy form is that it's so relationship-based. Even at this past rehearsal the other day, the character I was playing was the sister of one of the guys and the best friend of his girlfriend. I mean, we didn't call them those names, but it was just this moment of you can be in a love story and not be the main character, but still have a voice. When it comes just to like any love interest on stage, I think we're all great friends. It doesn't feel weird. It just feels we're playing characters. It's fun. We all know it's just part of the show. And I haven't, especially this rehearsal period, I haven't really experienced it be this huge driving force of the show. If it does weave in that way, that's totally fine. We all go with it. That's going to be part of the fun thing too. In rehearsals, there have been these like cheating romances and these really whimsical things. And that's so much fun. And I think the audience just eats it up. And now that you mention it, Val, I don't think I've really been much of a love interest this rehearsal period, which is fine either way by me.
Well, I can't wait to see what develops on stage between you and the other characters played by the Synergy Theater players.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it as well. One really exciting thing too is that for this show, in contrast to Adventure Serial, there is only three of us women, and actually several shows there's only two of us. And then this upcoming show, there's six of us. I don't think we're all six performing every single show, but it's definitely a lot more women. So I think that's going to be a really fun balance. The male improvisers are phenomenal too. I don't want to say that they're not, but it's definitely a very different vibe when there are more female supporting people.
Is there anything else that you would like the Synergy Theater audience to know in the run-up to My Dearest Love?
I think the biggest part is just come with an open mind, come with no expectations. Every single rehearsal, the story of the play has worked out so differently each time. Just enjoy that this is just a story about people and connections. I hope everybody comes and enjoys it and loves the costumes and loves the whole aesthetic of it all and the whole story of it all.
Wonderful. And Valerie, anything that you would like the audience to know prior to coming to the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek, California, and into the Vukasin Theater, all nice and cozy before the show?
I am curious how you are, Rachel, and the cast, how you're going to sell us on letters, because we have quite a younger crowd and some people have never sent a letter in their life. We're all about texting. So how to bring the life of letters on stage will be very interesting.
I hadn't even thought of the fact that letters are such an older method of communication. I think part of it is that because we are acting out what's happening in the letters, I don't think the focus is less on the sitting and writing a letter. The focus is more on watching the story unfold.
And Valerie and I will be there and we can't wait. Rachel Kumar, thank you so much for being here. Valerie Jord, as always, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for setting up this interview.
Thank you, Sarah, for interviewing.
Of course.
Thank you. This has just felt like chatting with two friends. It's gone by so fast and it's so lovely. So thank you to both of you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much at both of you again, and can't wait.
Thank you both.
Bye.
Bye. And that's our show. If you think improv sounds like fun, it is. If you think you'd like to try improv, it's easy. Just go to synergytheater.com and click on School of Improv. Synergy Theater offers beginner, advanced, and master classes. Synergy Theater is also on Facebook. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast. Your support makes a difference. Synergy Theater is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit that depends on the participation of current and future star supporters and improvisers like you. Thank you.